The following is a dramatization and does not necessarily represent the views of any of the people involved, especially Jeanette Rankin or Ann Coulter. Although the background information is factual, Ms. Rankin's commentary on the current political issues is conjecture based on her life of political activism.
Hello, and welcome to Voices from the Past, where we let the voices from the past speak out. For, as you know, those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Our guest today is Jeanette Rankin. Jeanette Rankin was born June 11, 1880 in Missoula, Montana. She graduated from the University of Montana in 1902 with a degree in biology. She earned a degree from the New York School of Social Philanthropy and also did graduate work at Columbia School of Social Work and the University of Washington. She started her career as a social worker in Seattle in 1909. She worked to get the 19th Amendment passed in 1920, giving all women in the U.S. the right to vote. She was a founding member of the American Civil Liberties Union, and in 1972, she was named the world's outstanding living feminist. So, Jeanette, what was it like growing up on the farm in Montana?
Well, I had to prepare meals for my brothers and sisters and do a lot of chores around the house. I also had to help my dad with his lumber and hotel ventures. That kind of life makes a girl grow up fast.
At the turn of the century, it was very unusual for a woman to go to college. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I decided that I wanted to go to school and to get degrees in biology and social work so that I could do work for social change and equity.
You were driven to seek the right to vote for women, and you were successful in Washington State in 1910 and in Nevada and Montana in 1914. That year had both a success and a setback for women's suffrage because the Susan B. Anthony Amendment to the Constitution, which would have given all women nationally the right to vote, did not pass. It was not until you got into Congress that you were able to make real changes in legislation.
Yes, I knew that women would vote for laws that would protect themselves and their children. And it was on that platform that I campaigned. I knew that what I was doing was right and that I had to do it.
People often underestimated you, didn't they? They claimed that you were making a fool of yourself.
Indeed. In Montana, I campaigned on a platform of helping miners and laborers. The big business interests thought that I couldn't win, which was their mistake. I was elected to the House of Representatives in 1916.
Working to gain women's right to vote was not always easy, was it? Particularly on the occasion of Woodrow Wilson's inauguration. Can you tell us a bit about that march?
Yes, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was on March 3rd, 1913. There were 5,000 of us who had decided to do a march for women's suffrage. We started at the Capitol and we were supposed to proceed from the White House to the Constitution Hall. Now, you have to keep in mind that the suffragist movement was not widely supported, especially by menfolk, and by extension, their wives in the South, who would rather be virtuous women. On that day, the crowds basically went wild, and they started spitting on us and throwing cigar stubs at us, and made it basically impossible for us to proceed.
There was not enough police support, and I believe that was done on purpose.
Many of my friends were actually pushed over by the mob, and many of us were injured as well. We barely got out alive. But on the bright side, we got a lot of people's attention. People hardly noticed Woodrow Wilson's inauguration, but they certainly noticed us.
It was not until 7 years later that the 19th Amendment passed in 1920. The women's suffrage movement had been going on for a century. And from giving women the right to vote, it was a logical next step for you to get involved in Congress.
You'd think it would be a logical next step, but it wasn't. It took a lot of work to get there. The way I think about women in America is, we're half the people, we should be half the Congress.
When I was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1916, I was the first woman to hold a seat in either chamber.
You voted no for the U.S. to enter World War I, and it cost you re-election.
Of course I voted no. Never for a second could I face the idea that I would send young men to be killed for no other reason than to save my seat in Congress.
You were again elected to Congress on an anti-war platform in 1940. Then, in 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, and you again voted against entering the war. In fact, you were the only one in both the House and Senate to vote no, by saying, as a woman, I can't go to war, and I refuse to send anyone else. I vote no. Your words made quite an impression that day.
Oh, yes, they did. As soon as I voted, everyone in Congress hissed and booed at me. Then, leaving the Senate, I found refuge in a phone booth to hide from the angry crowd. The police had to escort me back to my office.
You were called a skunk, old fossil, traitor, Nazi. Only William Allen White for the Emporia Gazette, who didn't agree with you, nonetheless praised your courage. In 1967, at the age of 88, you led the Jeanette Rankin Brigade to protest the war in Vietnam. What were your feelings on that war?
Well, we women should picket everything. Women remind me of the cows on our ranch in Montana. A cow has a calf, and after a while, some man comes along and takes the calf away. She bawls for a while, and then goes on and has another calf. If we had 10,000 women willing to go to prison, that would end the war. We've had 10,000 women sit back and let their sons be killed.
What was your reaction to the campus violence?
Well, if a nation sends boys halfway around the world to be shot, can you blame a few little boys for throwing stones?
You have been accused of being a bit of a radical character, to say the least. What is your response to that?
Well, the individual woman is required 1,000 times a day to choose either to accept her appointed role and thereby rescue her good disposition out of the wreckage of her self-respect, or else follow an independent line of behavior and rescue her self-respect out of the wreckage of her good disposition.
You worked for peace and equity all your life, which earned you the World's Outstanding Living Feminist Award in 1972. If you were still alive today, what would you be doing?
I would be out encouraging women and minorities to get out there and vote. We fought for 100 years to get the right to vote in the U.S. We suffered insults and injury to get the right to vote. And now they're lulled by their televisions into a sense of complacency. They remind me of the cows back on our ranch back in Montana, just waiting around to be slaughtered. Americans don't even take advantage of all the great democracy we have forged. So that is what I would be campaigning for, first and foremost. I have great faith that if mothers and brothers voted, they would vote for what is in the best interest of the American people, rather than let big business make most of the decisions.
The right-wing commentator Ann Coulter advocates taking away women's votes because, and I quote, women are voting so stupidly, end of quote. What is your response to Ms. Coulter?
Somebody needs to give that little girl a wake-up call. Last I checked, the United States is a democracy.
Taking away the right to vote from anyone who doesn't want to vote the way you do takes away everything that's good about the democracy that Americans fought and died for.
What do you think about the U.S. military involvement in Iraq?
War is not a solution. You can no more win a war than you can win an earthquake.
If you had it to do over, would you do it all again?
If I had my life to live over, I would do it all again, but this time, I would be nastier.
All right, you've heard it, folks. Jeanette Rankin, a woman who stood for what she believed in. She worked for peace, equity, and justice. Jeanette Rankin died in her sleep May 18, 1973, just short of her 93rd birthday. The Jeanette Rankin Foundation was founded in her honor. It awards grants to low-income women aged 35 and older to pursue a college education. Also founded in her name, the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula is dedicated to working together to build a socially just, nonviolent, and sustainable world.